Good morning. The Sisters of Life magazine. Sisters of Life are, please come in and visit our church and say a prayer. A person said, with our correct answer, God is love. God is the being, transcendence, that God is over all, in all, with all, through all, and for all. Transcendent, other than, and yet proven by the reality of the incarnation. It is for us humanly impossible to understand the goodness and the fullness of the divine nature that really honestly comes from our parents and our life experience. Are we nurtured in the earliest days and hours of our lives in the nonverbal bondings of love before a child has any capacity to functionally understand anything? I mean, those first days and weeks and months, 18, 20 months of life, the nonverbal communications, you know, really that has a lot to do with our personalities and our security and stability in life, really. And yet even later in life, we experience God through our experience, right? Encounter, grow, witness, that we encounter God. And in our encounters of God, we grow in our faith, and then we give witness in the rhythms and movements of our daily life because we believe in a God of love, and we believe that God of love is within ourselves, and that we are agents of that love for the world, for other human beings. Similarly, much of our experience of God as churchgoers comes from church religion. In many ways, we depend on the church in the power and the rituals of sacraments, where hopefully we encounter God in a profound and primary way. I do, after having said Mass, I lost count thousands, of Masses ago, maybe 40,000 times now, by now. But that we encounter and experience God in these kinds of ways. But even with that, given the weakness and the woundedness of our human nature, it continues to be a challenge, does it not, to really trust in a really good God. Even for people of faith, well, Father, if God is so darn good, why is my life such a mess? Boy, am I careful how I answer that question. If God is so good, why is there so much hate and anger and war and starvation and oppression in the world? Sometimes all I can say, well, God's not doing that. We are. The readings today bless us with the ever-familiar Beatitude. Hard to preach because there's so much more than we can really immediately perceive and understand. It takes a mature or maturing stance of faith to understand the meaning and the depth of what the Beatitudes are. You certainly would understand that as people of faith, well, really, for the world, the relationship between heaven and earth took a tremendous step forward, did it not, in the act of God, the initiative of God, through the incarnation of Jesus. Christmas is not that long ago, but God who became flesh through the womb of the Virgin Mary, remaining fully divine, becoming fully human. So that the incarnation, quite admittedly, is a radical mystery. It absolutely depends on faith, and a lot of people simply do not believe. The name of God is used, so humanly, only to support my way of thinking, the political right and the liberal left. And God's name is just used somehow as a political entity or a political power. People do that all the time, not only in politics. Well, that's your truth. I don't believe that. That's not my truth. Well, what is truth? Love is truth. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. Now, I know people can say, well, I don't believe in Christianity. Well, I do. And I'm a priest and I'm preaching. So I can say that. Do you believe that? Well, then you're in the right place. And that you have the light and the truth of the love of God by the grace of your baptism. You have the Holy Spirit. There's other truths, there's scientific truths, there's intellectual truths, etc. But the truth and the essence of our existence is God. Sometimes I think it's important to think on that level of God so that we stretch ourselves beyond. Too often, even in church religion, God gets too small. Again, remember, God is a supreme being. How often do we use that language? A supreme being. That's what God is. Oh, I don't want to take the time because I know some people don't like longer homilies, but how did that go? A dog there, and the dog goes, wow, you know, that person loves me and cares for me. They feed and water me, and they take me for walks. That person must be God. And then the cat says, wow, you know, that person is so good to me. They take me for walks, and they buy my favorite food, and they pet me, and they really take good care of me. I must be God. I'm not going to say any more about that. God is a supreme being, the essence of love. I deeply believe that. And if we believe this Christian truth, the mystery of the incarnation of God, what else can we say about that? We cannot divide God and say, well, that God is the essence of love, but at the same time, God gets angry and God, you know, punishes. Sin is its own punishment. The anger of God's wrath. God's wrath is God's passion that we live in the life of God and the life of God's love. So much of our own anger and disorders of life get projected onto God. Well, you know, why isn't my life better? You know, I keep remembering that thing I learned in the eighth grade. Charlie Brown comes up to Lucy and says, you know, what's the meaning of life? Lucy kind of says, well, I think we're kind of here to help one another, make each other happy. And Charlie says, somebody's not doing their job. And sometimes we just project that onto God. It's like, well, you know, if you're so good, how come I'm so unhappy? And God says, do you have a mirror? Sometimes we just have to look in the mirror. Love is truth. God is love. Jesus is God. So that the human nature of Jesus and the divine nature become that immeasurable step forward, so we can begin to understand even more deeply the nature and the identity of God through the person of Christ, so that Jesus is the enfleshment, God in the flesh. Now, they're individual persons. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, but they are indivisibly one in the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's a different homily. Well, let's look at the example of the readings today. The Beatitudes ultimately are about our dependence on God, our humility, and the realization of our dependence. But what does that mean? Let's look at the example, for instance, of what I hope to suggest is the unity, but the radical difference between the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes. They're not the same. They're both from God. They're both given as gifts from God. The Ten Commandments, as far as I know, have not become 10 suggestions, but that the Ten Commandments are an essential foundation that guide our hearts into the heart and the will of God, that again take a major leap forward from the obedience of law into a living relationship with God who lives and dwells in us through the power of the Spirit in the person of his Son. Big difference. So that we need the laws of God, and the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, are to be obeyed for the good of ordered society. Notice that the first three commandments, only three of ten, but very importantly, the first three commandments. I won't get this exactly correct. I am the Lord your God and God alone. You shall not have false gods before you. Commandment number two, you shall honor the name of the Lord your God and do not take the Lord's name in vain, for God's name is holy. The third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. Why? Because we're honoring God by reverencing and honoring ourselves as expressions of the divine creation. And the other seven commandments have to do with the right order of social and civil society that lead us in the direction of the unitive life of the divine God, that without those laws, in our human weakness and human woundedness, not to mention sin, how are we ever going to find God? Honor mother and father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not take thy neighbor's name, you know, in vain, or not covet jealousy. Said he didn't get it exactly right, but that's 8 out of 10. Pretty good, right? How many of the Ten Commandments can you remember right now off the top of your head? And I just mentioned 9 of them. But they're laws. Not usually a lot of love in a law. We learn them early, and we need laws. Children need laws. They need discipline. They need boundaries so that they can grow up not only in safe environments, but so they can have emotional and psychological boundaries. They know who they are in relationship. This is me, and that's you, and there's a difference. You know, that's how they mature beyond, I'm the only one here, and the whole world is supposed to take care of me. You know how that goes, the 40-year-old or the 45-year-old that doesn't want to go to school. Come on, Billy, it's time to go to school. I'm not going today. Come on, you're going to be late. Your cereal's getting cold. Come on, you got to go. I'm not going to. Billy, you're 47 years old. You're the principal. You got to go to school. We need boundaries. We need laws. We need ways to move through life so that we can find God. But the Beatitudes, you see, the Ten Commandments are for the right order of the earthly realm. The Beatitudes are an invitation that form and shape the spiritual and eternal realm to which we are called. So that the Old Testament law, through Moses and Abraham and et cetera, and the development of the Jewish faith, the law then became covenants with God. But covenants are different than personal relationship. Now, it's not exactly the same, but I could say you might sign a contract for somebody to pave your driveway or put a new roof on your car, and then you pay them the money, or maybe you pay them after they do the work, and you know, and then you complain that they didn't do it well, but then eventually you pay, and the contract, the covenant, is complete. Look at the leap forward. When we now have, in the incarnation of God in Christ, a living relationship with Jesus, so that now no longer built on the law, even from the Old Testament. Remember Jeremiah, I will take from them their stony hearts, and I will give them hearts of flesh, and that my own spirit will be within them. Ezekiel, same thing. So that it's not new. You see the movement, the evolution, if you will, the moving forward of the divine nature in and with and for and through ourselves. That in the Spirit of Jesus, which is the Spirit of God, lives within us. That's the root of the Beatitudes. It is good to follow law, especially traffic laws, if you care to be safe and not harm yourself or others. But spiritual laws like the Ten Commandments. But being in relationship with God is so much better, is infinitely more than simply following laws out of fear or fear of punishment. Consider even just the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's widely understood, I think correctly, that that simply means that we know our dependence on God. Whether we're wealthy and we're well taken care of and we feel secure in the world, or whether we have nothing. And there's a lot of people that have nothing. The reality is we're all dependent on God. And yet there's so much more to that in that depth of the spiritual, eternal realm. Poor in spirit in Matthew's gospel is spiritualized. In Luke's gospel, it's really much more literal because Luke lived in a community of people who were oppressed and very poor. He couldn't overly spiritualize the reality because they were living in a very temporal, oppressive circumstance, day-to-day, mouth-to-mouth kind of existence. What are we going to eat today? Where are we going to find food? How are we going to clothe and house ourselves? Matthew's gospel spiritualizes the Beatitudes so that we realize whether we have much or little, we still are dependent on God. The Spirit of the living God, Ruah, is the biblical word, which means breath or wind. So I affirmed Jim a couple of times, that opening song, "Breathe on me, O breath of God." The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. So that from the first verse of Scripture in Genesis, in the beginning, a mighty wind of the Spirit, blew over the waters, over the chaos of darkness and the turbulent waters to bring order out of chaos, the work of the right order of God's creation. So that our dependence on God in the power of the Spirit is for our very existence. We take these things for granted. Is a fish aware of the water it swims in? In the same way, are we really aware of the air we're breathing? We really tend to only become aware of the air if it has, well, an odor, or if there's smoke in the air. But how long can you hold your breath? Breath or wind, ruah, we are dependent on God for our very breath, our existence, being alive, breathing in and out. I can remember I was probably, well, I'm not much taller than that now. I was probably 6 or 7, and Mrs. Case, who lived across the street on Winthrop in Detroit, where I grew up, and she died. I said, "Well, Mom, well, how did she die? What happened?" Well, being, you know, little, her breather stopped. Worked for me. Our breathers are still working. How does that song? In goes the good air, out goes the bad air, the Spirit of God living in us. This attitude of dependence then becomes the mind and the heart of Jesus. Jesus is looking for persons always who share the divine mind and the divine heart. Now, I know that can sound like really way too far over our heads. It's not. The Spirit of the living God lives in you and is with you. You can and you do have the mind and the heart of God when you believe in God and put some feet on that faith and do good for others in your love for God, love for yourself, in service and care for others. In the perfect unity of the Father and the Son, we see the divine nature being praised by our dependence on God. I don't know that it's exactly true, but I did read, and I think it's functionally true, that you realize even before you speak, you have to take in a breath. Normally one would inhale and then begin to speak. The implication is that in this beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, they realize, the poor in spirit, which is any of us, that we are dependent on God for our very breath. Without God, without breath, we can't even talk. Why is that hard to accept or even to understand? Because so often we can get stuck in the mind and the ways of the world. And the way of the world is to resist and scorn faith, incarnation, God in a person of Jesus as foolish and a waste of time. How often are human beings simply in pursuit of being in control and power over others, making sure they're in the up position so they don't have to bump into their own sense of dependence and need and humility, not only for others, but for God. No man, no person is an island. We're social beings, and we need one another in the bonds of love. I was impressed when I read recently, for all the work in the years of inner healing, it's so important, I'll just repeat it again, I realize I'm repeating myself, the infant child who can't talk for, what does George Carlin say? I was so shocked at my birth I couldn't speak for 2 years. But that baby, as soon as it's born, or even in the womb, nonverbal communication, eye contact, affection, touch, love, hugs, diaper change, feeding, all those things, some functional, some simply nonverbal. Those are the bonds of love that commune us with others, not only in the human condition, but in the divine spiritual realm. How would we possibly live without the breath of God and the gift of the Spirit? The Beatitudes tell us what God wants for us. What God wants for us is to know and to love him in the awareness of his love, God's love for us. Jesus is the love of God incarnate given to the world. That's your truth. And people may say, well, okay, well, that's your truth. I'm not Catholic. Well, God's supreme being, God's not Catholic either. But in our Catholicity and our identity as Catholic Christians, we claim Christ as the love of God. Gratitude should be a part of everyday prayer, so that when we take in a breath and we begin our prayer, we should exhale a praise of gratitude for the gift of God that gives us another day, by day, by day, by day. So take in that breath then and offer a word of praise and gratitude to God, because you belong to God, and with God or in God, you are in good hands. May God be praised by our worship this day, and may the goodness of God in each and every one of us make the world a better place. Come, Holy Spirit, help us know the way.